starting off the show this hour, we're going to be getting into the topic of sci-fi comics, the role of new voices, new stories, and an incredible new comic created right here in Detroit, which not only tells the story of the beloved Detroit techno group Drexia, but also illustrates the group's incredible sci-fi narrative. It was in 1980 in an essay that Octavia Butler said, science fiction reaches into the future, the past, the human mind. It reaches out to other worlds and to other dimensions. So why so often right now online are a lot of people very upset, namely white male comic fans, sci-fi fans? Why are they so angry about women, about people of color, about queer people coming into that space and creating stories? It's been happening for a long time, but you see a lot of anger right now, as we saw a few years ago in something like Gamergate. We also have Comicsgate going on. We're gonna get into all of it, but first we wanna tell the story of this incredible comic with Tia Graham. Hey, Tia.
Oh, Amanda, and we're gonna talk a little bit about a techno music influenced Afro-futuristic comic book. However, this story spans back to the late 1980s, where a Detroit electro-techno duo named Drexia joined forces. Together, the two created Aquatic Vision in 1994, and the first of a series of releases. Drexia's James Stinson and Gerald Donald created a complex mythology with music depicting the sound of an underwater race called the Drexians. Under the name Drexia, both Stinson and Donald worked together, fusing sounds and influencing artists across the globe. Donald is still making music under the name Drexia under Treasure Records right now. And we have Habu, Kadeem, Hawk, and Devon McLean with us to talk a little bit about the comic book that he created and based on the sound and the story of Drexia and its underwater dwellers, the Drexians. So thank you both for being here with us today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Yes.
It's my pleasure.
Oh, awesome. So
thank you.
And foremost, we're going to talk a little bit about you, Habu. Talk about the beginning, your start here as an artist in the city of Detroit, and a little bit about your background.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, my start happened 32 years ago. I started professionally as an artist in 1989 when I started doing artwork for a lot of the Detroit techno labels, which were very young at the time. So mainly I started working for Transmat, which is one of the original labels. And my art became a little popular within the techno circle. So I continued to do art over the years. And this is my 32nd year of doing art with sci-fi, Afrofuturism-based concepts.
Yeah, so when we talk about your art and you talk about your beginning here, what were some of the first early passions of getting into the sci-fi and Afrofuturism, especially when it's so early on, seeing the representation in the comic world?
Yeah, well, I was a sci-fi fan for many years, starting from the mid-70s and watching Star Trek, and then I went to see Star Wars later in the 70s and became really big fans. Also a big fan of Japanese anime, mm-hmm. which would come on TV at the time. And it really moved me of how beautiful it was and how in-depth the stories were. And so those were some of my main influences growing up. And then once I got to college, I started learning about my own past and the past of black people and more awareness of our culture and what happened during slavery. And so my art started to reflect that. And since I was a science fiction fan, it started to come out in science fiction as well.
And, you know, we talked a little bit about the backstory of Drexia, the duo here, the techno duo here from the city of Detroit, making music out of the city of Detroit. Can you talk about how that music linked up with your art?
Yeah, but in the late 90s, I was asked to do an album cover for Drexia from a place, a label from Germany called Tresor, which mm-hmm. is pretty popular in techno. And so Neptune's Lair was a really big album for me. I got to meet with James Stinson, and he talked about all the concepts behind Drexia and what he wanted to see in the art. And he gave me a basic structure of how Drexia was.
Mm-hmm. So he basically was telling the story through his music, and he relayed that to you, and you put it on paper.
Yeah, but even more so, he got into details, even more than what was in the songs or the titles, about what Drexia was really about, and that's what we talked about in our meetings about the album art.
Yeah, so what was his representation? What did he say that Drexia was to him?
He said Drexia was based on science, but also warriors. And that's what I tried to convey in the art. And he really wanted to portray a bubble metropolis, a really advanced city based on the shape of bubbles that would be at the bottom of the ocean floor. And that was very important to him, and also the Drexian cruiser and the aqua wormholes.
Yes, yes, yes. And you can hear a lot of that in the music when you're listening to Neptune's Lair. I listened to a lot of it last night. You can hear that aquatic sound, the bubbles, the strings, the synths. It's all there. It sounds like you're in an underwater world. Amanda has a little bit of it playing right now in the background. Yeah. But it really does feel like this really futuristic place that you've been transported to. And this music came out in the late 90s, early 2000s, in that little area, in that little bubble. So when you're talking about working on this from then until where we are now, what have you been working on from then to now?
Well, just been doing art pretty much. In 2002, I became full-time artist and quit all corporate and regular kind of jobs. And so just been devoting my time to art. And came out with comic books in that time, something separate from the Drexia Project. And I did a career retrospective at my 25th anniversary, and that went pretty well. And I've been on some exhibitions all over, like Japan and places in Europe and things like that. And it was just a real blessing to be able to travel the world and, you know, see how people appreciate the art over the years. And so, in the last few years, been busy doing these graphic novels and expanding it to some smaller comics this year, and plan on continuing volume 3 after the two smaller comics come out.
I want to bring Devon McLean into the conversation as well. One of the other creators of this incredible comic, The Book of Drexia, is Volume 1. Volume 2 just came out last year. And I want to talk about those meetings you had with James Stinson and the conversations you guys have had creating this work. What was his vision for this story, and what place did he want it to have, and what place do you guys both think it has right now in the world of sci-fi and comics?
Well, in our meetings, he really wanted to portray how advanced a civilization it was and how militaristic they were. And that's why in every part of the art of the album, you see a Drexian warrior, you see warriors swimming over one of the bubbles of a building, and on the cover you see the Drexian cruisers coming through a wormhole right in front of some of the buildings in the bubble metropolis. He really wanted to emphasize an advanced civilization, but was based on warriorship and science.
And, you know, as we're going forward and we're talking a little bit about that book, or the comic book, talk about the creating. I saw that you had a crowd funding that was going on to get the book going. Talk about the beginning stages of getting it to print, getting it published. Talk about how that work goes, the process.
First I contacted Gerald Donnell, who's the surviving member at Drexia, and got permission to further advance the story in an attempt to make it into a comic and graphic novel. And from that point, I did a crowdfunding, which was very successful. And we even shared part of the crowdfunding with the Stinson family, James Stinson's mother. So they were really grateful for that. And so, the first book was a real success. We even had help from Trezor, who originally put out Neptune's Lair. Mm-hmm. So really thankful for them helping me with that. And, I think it really made an impact. And also a good friend from Japan named Dai Sato helped me with the writing. And he's one of the greatest writers in anime and manga. So it was all like people coming together to really help me tell the story, and really appreciative.
And so far, what has it been the reception, especially overseas, but here in the U.S. as well?
Oh, yeah. We've gotten really good reception at the conventions. It's very positive. And also, when I go out to the different exhibitions and outings in Europe, it's very positive and sells pretty good. So, yeah, I'm really happy with the reaction I've gotten so far.
That was one of my questions I was thinking about yesterday was I saw that you were doing really well with the comic book in overseas in Europe and different places. And in the U.S., I'm not saying that you're not doing as well, but, you know, it's a little bit less of a push here. So could you talk about the difference there and why you see that difference happening?
Yeah, well, Europe has always been a real electronic music place. They really enjoy it and embrace it more so than we do here in the USA, I've noticed over the years. And, you know, actually when I do go to like the conventions and specifically black comic conventions, it's a real positive response. So I think it's just a matter of awareness.
Yeah.
And getting the word out there and the name out there. But when I do go to these conventions, it's just real, I get a real positive response, and it's real popular.
Again, we're talking to the writers and artists behind the Book of Drexia. That is what it's called. It's a book created right here in Detroit. It tells the narrative of the band Drexia, a legendary Detroit techno group. If you know them, I'm sure you love them. And we're here with Habu Hakeem Hawk and Devon McLean and Tia Graham as well. And I want to talk a little bit, Devon, I'd like to bring you into that conversation, because as we were saying at the beginning, this is the beginning of a series of conversations that we want to have. We'd like to look in longitude, a book club actually later this year, a sci-fi book club here for Culture Shift, guided by our own Tia Graham, who is a huge fan of sci-fi and Marvel. And one of the conversations we've been having behind the scenes is that when you are in that sci-fi, comic books, video games, those arenas, especially online, there is a lot of difficulties happening, a lot of hate, to be honest, from a young white male audience members and lovers, fans of this, obviously. And I just want to kind of talk about, like, as you guys are telling the story, which centers on an advanced underwater black civilization, what kind of experiences have you had with those arenas? Have you ever come up against anything of that? And just in your own experience as fans of sci-fi, is that something that you've thought about and dealt with?
Well, let me tell you how I got started with Drexia. In real life, me and my son are skilled tradesmen. We work in construction, and I'm a pipe fitter, welder, sprinkler fitter. So what I wanted to do was make a comic book about me and my son being in construction, working together, and the enemy would have been diversity and things of that nature. Well, not diversity, but discrimination.
Yes.
It would have been discrimination. So I needed someone to draw the comic book, and that's how I met Hawk. And then Hawk was telling me that he wanted me to be in his universe in his comic book. And then he told me about all the geothermal pipes and all the pipe systems and the construction. I thought it might be a good idea.
All right.
But as far as sci-fi, you would have to ask Hawk. I have a construction background. So
you're helping build the world. You're helping build the world.
Yeah, that's,
right?
That's what I'm here for.
Sure.
Yeah.
So Hawk gave me a contract with imaginary millions of dollars, and I was in.
Sci-fi is all about the imagination again.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh,
but
yes.
For both of you, especially Devon, being in this world now, what does the story of Drexia mean for you? What do you feel like it represents?
It represents being hated on, but it also represents not stopping, because they could have stopped, and they did not have to build their civilization. They could have just dwelled in negativity and said, why is this happening? And they could have stayed there, but they didn't. They chose to keep going.
Yeah, I feel like that's a thing that a lot of us are feeling and going through right now here in the United States and the political climate, that it feels so heavy. It feels Like there's so many obstacles, but you know, we all really want to build a better world, right?
Right, exactly.
We really, really do. And you know, yes. Just jumping into the books, you have three, you have two right out right now, and the third one is on its way, and you're going to be in it.
Yes.
You're going to be the star.
Yes.
Okay. So talk a little bit about the series here while we have a little time left.
Yeah, well, that's
talk
about volume two you have. We also brought volume one.
Yes, yes.
I don't know if you got a chance. Yeah, okay, she has volume one. Excellent.
Yes.
Yeah, so I decided to take the story from the very beginning. In the liner notes of one of the Drexia albums, there was a story of how Drexia started. And so it was when a pregnant African woman was thrown overboard on a slave ship and gave birth underwater. So I started from that point in the story, and we continue it from there and go on throughout the years of that first surviving baby and what went on afterwards, how he survived, how others came to join him, and how they eventually learned, became warriors, became scientists, and developed a civilization.
Something that really is striking me as I was looking at the book this past week and that I love, and I don't know if you can go more deeply into the, if there is meaning for this, but the way the main character, as you said, the baby, he survives because of these wonderful sorceresses from underneath the sea who see him and protect him, and then they start doing that for other children who are thrown overboard, end up overboard, and creating that civilization. And I was really moved by this idea of the earth itself, like the water itself, coming up and protecting and raising and making the civilization happen the way they stepped in like that.
Yes, I wanted to really portray the feminine aspect of water, and the sorcerers represent that to some degree. Their origin story will be coming up in volume three, so stay tuned for that. It should be very interesting. And really wanted to show something more positive and something turn around the usual narrative and present something new. So wanted to introduce these older feminine aspects that would take care of this young life.
And as you're, we're talking about the city of Detroit, we're talking about techno, we're talking about the background. If you could just say, how do you feel about this being a representation not only of blackness, but black Detroiters?
Yeah, well, I really think it's wonderful, and that Detroit could be representative of such deep concepts and aspects of Afrofuturism. And I think that's how it should be, considering the amount of music and creativity that comes from Detroit. So I'm really glad that, there's a connection there, and just hope to bring it to more Detroiters. They really aren't even aware of Drexia. So, we'd like to spread the word about that.
It seems like the perfect marriage of those things. Detroit techno is black culture, and then this comic book, the strip, both were imagining a future or representing this future that we have here in Detroit of both black culture and music and industry, all of those things kind of put together. I'm kind of surprised it never really happened before. You guys have done a beautiful job.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here with us this afternoon. And we're hopefully going to have you back soon so we can talk a little bit more about the comic book world and what we can expect from you all in the future.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. That is Habu Kadeem Haque and Devon McLean. The books we're talking about are called The Book of Drexia. There's volume one and volume two. I hope you can get them at your local bookstore. Try Vault of Midnight. Shop local. That's what we always like to do here on Culture Shift. We are listening to some Drexia right now from the 1999 album Neptune's Lair. This is Andrean Sand Dunes.